But I'm also using like clothing as like a metaphor for like get a mic for your calls, right? Like get a microphone, whatever is necessary for your job to be performed more professionally. I think clothing is kind of a metaphor for that as well, since we're like in this digital remote work era.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about, which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hello, everyone. Another Monday and another happy week, especially for us who work remotely. If you're listening to this in your house, at the beach, at the gym, anywhere but a boring office cubicle, you might have a better morning than some people out there. I'm not. I'm just kidding. Maybe, actually, I had some time at a cubicle and I didn't hate it. I actually thought that there were some perks in it, but today we're going to dive into this topic because I have a very, very special, most special guest, actually. I know I always say I have a very special guest, but this is the most special guest because it is one of the most special people in my life. Cue applause. But today we have my husband, Alex Booth, and his journey is nothing short of inspirational. I was actually just talking to him last night in one of our hashtag open heart intimate moments. And I told him how one of the things that I admired about him was that he is very hardworking and he's self-made. Hailing from Northern Idaho, his love for the outdoors and relentless ambition actually drove him from snowboarding to golf and onto the business world. So he started his journey in the workforce by starting in Seattle, Washington. That was actually what she shared with me. It was one of his childhood dreams to kind of move to Seattle. YP or Yellow Pages, he aimed high, nearly hitting an ambitious earnings goal that dwarfed his family's modest income. His quest for growth led him through tech giants like Microsoft, Bing Ads to Amazon, where he excelled by having a leadership position in customer success. He actually led a team of customer success managers, which is also one of his springboards for his business, which is Huckleberry Consulting. He started this in 2023, leveraging his expertise to foster customer-centric growth and focusing on helping online business owners make more money by improving their customer retention, loyalty, building communities, and building successful affiliate programs. So the pandemic was pretty pivotal to his life, obviously, as it is with a lot of people's lives. He moved to Mexico during that time. That was the time that I also met him. But I would love to, welcome Alex to my podcast. Hey, babe. I'll try not to call him babe. But thank you so much for granting my request. And I'm happy you're here. How are you?
Yay. Don't worry. This request will cost you somehow down the road. Maybe dinner or we'll figure it out.
I know.
I'm good. I woke up on the right side of the bed this morning. So
yeah,
feeling fresh, feeling energized, ready to make my first and hopefully not my last appearance on your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. So of course, I mean, you You woke up on the right side of the bed because that was beside me. But tell us, share a little bit about your life. I know I did a little bit of intro, but a lot of my listeners follow me on Facebook where you're pretty private, you know, and I know that you do your work stuff, your work collaborations mostly on LinkedIn and of course in in-person conferences. But tell us about what made you decide to pursue, say, a career in customer success or in client success?
Well, there's a lot to touch on there. My entire life, and then social media, and then my decision to move into
I
customer
know.
success. So I'll first off say I love the introduction. It did make me feel like I need to earn some more accolades. So the next time I'm introduced, there's an award at least attached. But beyond that, yeah, really, I'm really, really proud to have grown up in Northern Idaho. For anyone listening and wondering why the hell I say Northern Idaho, it's just an Idaho thing. We have a little beef with Southern Idaho, but we're just really proud of where we're from. And yeah, I aimed high, wanted to move to the big city to kind of get some social mobility going on in my family and for us in Idaho. And those listening, Idaho is not Iowa. It's on the West Coast. It's the Pacific Northwest. So our big city was Seattle. So I would go there as a kid with my dad to watch like Mariners games. It was like the big trip, that came around every few years. And I remember telling my dad, I'm gonna move here. I'm gonna be living down here one day. So that was like my very first kind of like prove myself goal that I made. And I was very proud of myself when I made that happen. Which kind of leads me to, getting into customer client success. In order to make that goal a reality, I had to get a job. And the first company that reached out to me, the first interview that I had coming out of college was actually a company called YP. And it's really just Yellow Pages, that big phone book that you get once a year, and you'd
Yeah.
probably use it to like hold your door open or something. They rebranded in an attempt to, kind of meet the new digital world. And I was an eager, fresh out of college salesperson who actually did really, really well selling their apologies. I think their company's been bought out now, so I can say this kind of shitty product. But at the time, I didn't know that it was shitty. I thought it was, it was amazing. So I have no regret selling it. I was very heartfelt and passionate, and I think I did a good job. But that's kind of how I got my foot in the door in Seattle and like working at a corporate company. Sooner or later, the sweet taste of working at YP wore off about a year and a half later, and I took a role at Microsoft as a contractor actually at first for less money than what I was making at YP, just so I could make like a good career step in the right direction, and that role was no longer sales focused. It was really about working with current customers, finding out what their goals are, and helping them achieve that through the Bing Ads platform. So that was my first taste of it, and that's kind of how I got into it. And the rest is kind of just snowballed into the career I'm in now.
That's cool. It's great because, you and I have, I'm obviously biased, but like, I want the people who are listening, I want the people to know that you and I are like kind of similar in that belief of, let's go to college and let's do well in it, take up a business course that will help us get to the career that we want. Of course, there's the other camp of like, don't go to college. It's worthless or something. But it seems like you had a really good track in your life. I remember you were sharing with me how you're the first person in your family to go to university, to finish college. After that, you got a great job at YP and then Microsoft and then Amazon, which is obviously Amazon, one of the biggest, probably the biggest company in the world right now, and some of the home of some of the best practices, really, just like Microsoft. So, to be honest, I know I have a lot of people in my following that started their own businesses and kind of just learned things along the way, but you do have a certain advantage of being able to work for these companies and having that background, having best practices being just taught to you, and you did this, you live this, and now you're helping other companies add some of these best practices and translate it to improve customer retention and loyalty, which I really like. And so onto our topic, actually today we're going to talk about remote work. And I know that as a corporate guy, I remember I was sharing my thoughts with you about remote work, and what for me it didn't really affect me. When the pandemic started, they closed everything, and it was now we're stuck to our homes, we're stuck to our laptops. A lot of roles were moved fully remote, and I remember sharing with you that it wasn't a huge change for me, except that I couldn't travel because I used to travel a lot. But yeah, but for me, it was like, oh, just another day because I've been working remotely. But your journey was different. And this is what I'm really, really curious about. So tell us about the first time you experienced remote work. Did you like it or did you not? Like, how was the experience? Can you describe it for us, as a corporate guy?
Yeah, definitely. But before I get into that, I just realized I had kind of like an aha. When COVID hit, the pandemic hit, it was kind of like restricting for you, it sounds like, right? Because you were already used to like the work
Yeah.
anywhere I want, do what I want, travel where I want. And then for me, I was stuck in a box of that was Seattle, right? Or whatever city that this office required me to be in,
Right.
within like a certain radius around. And for me, it opened up the whole world, right? So it's just kind of funny how you and I had complete and polar
Right.
opposite experiences from it. But eventually, Carla, it did lead us to meeting each other.
Yep. Thank you, Fauci.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see. We'll see. So apparently, I'm supposed to be answering, what was it? What's my first experience working remotely?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think realistically, it was probably that YP job. We were not technically remote. We were sales. But we did have an office, a small office. Some people would sit in there all day. Some people would just show up to the required meetings. Then the rest of the time they would just be out if they're being productive, knocking doors, driving down the road, spotting a car with like a business logo on it and calling them while driving next to them, just being hustlers. I used to do that all the time. If I was driving down the highway to like a meeting to in Olympia and I would see a roofing truck go by, I'd call them and be like, "Hey man, you just blew past me. I just wanted to call you and let you know I have 15 jobs that I can send your way right now." Just like
Wow.
totally catch them off guard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that job allowed me to kind of get a micro dose of it. There was an office. I still had to live, in the city. But I got to, I remember one time I was camping, right? And there's happened to be Wi-Fi in the campground that I was at, and I was working on my laptop thinking, how freaking cool is this? But I had to go into an office like, a few days later. So but like the real first taste of it was the pandemic, so
Yeah.
2020, when it all happened.
Yeah. So, what was your general feeling about it? I remember you had like this moment of, you know what? I can be at home and drink beer and lay on my couch.
Yeah, I probably I'm looking back, I regret how I looked at it. I think I turned into like Garfield the cat, right?
Yeah.
Other than I didn't hate Mondays anymore. So I literally was super excited. I was like Fuck yeah, I get to drink beer on the couch. I get a, you know, I have an excuse to just stay inside and like binge watch this Netflix show that I've been trying to watch. And that all lasted for probably a good 3 months, that thrill. And then it became very annoying. Because people just didn't want to go out and do anything either. I was living in Seattle at the time, and people there were like terrified of it. So I hightailed it out of Seattle, probably about like 4 or 5 months into the pandemic, and then went back home to Idaho. And when we showed up, they're like, "What is COVID?" They had no. They're
Oh
like,
my
"We're
gosh.
just going out. We're going to the bar. We're gonna go camping. You know, like everyone is healthy, happy." So, the first experience was definitely like a selfish binge and be unhealthy type of happiness. And then when reality set in, I kind of escaped for a state with a little bit more freedom.
That was that it was definitely like I agree with you. It was definitely like a weird time because even though you and I have very basically belong to very different worlds in terms of like what workplace, what being at work looks like, you know. For me, I could work at a bar, I could work at a co-working space, I could work at the beach, and I could work at, you know, planes, business lounges, and things like that. And then now it's like, well, now I can't do that. I just have to be at home. So I felt restricted, and I felt bad about it. And obviously, there were a lot of things that were happening around the world. You know, people were scaring you about, you know, if you don't wear a mask, you're a grandma killer, or like things like that. And then your experience was at first, it felt like there's a little bit of freedom. Right. But at the end of the day, you know, after 3 months, like you shared, it started to feel a little bit like a negative, it turned into a negative experience. So I know that you led a team in Amazon. What were the changes that you saw in your coworkers? Did you talk to them about, you know, like, did you guys like process? How did you guys process COVID and, you know, suddenly moving at home? What were the changes that you saw in them? Did you like it? Did you not?
Well, it's like in terms of processing it, to be completely honest, when you're working at a company like Amazon, and something like political comes up. I know COVID isn't supposed to be political, but in all reality, it was very political in America. So we would just not talk about it. Like,
Interesting.
because everyone was worried about, getting, reprimanded for any potential political topic. So beyond that, like what I recognized was a very, very big imbalance of work life. So at Amazon, we used to always call it work life harmony. That's what Jeff Bezos would want us to call it instead of balance. But the balance started to shift towards people were working way more. They were online, until midnight. We used like you got to realize in when but when we were working in office, we had 53 buildings downtown Seattle. And
Interesting.
we would have a meeting in one building on one side of the town, and then we would have a meeting 20 minutes later on the other side, right? So like we're running around Seattle. It was probably healthy doing that, to be honest.
Right, more steps.
Yeah, more steps. But then you also just have people around you constantly asking questions. Amazon is like the sink or swim type culture. So if you were in office, you got to and you were sinking, you could, throw a lifeline out there at, kind of pestering people for information. But that would take away your time if you've been there. So that type of culture ended, and people who had been around, they weren't new, they were being very, very, very productive. And then anybody that came on to, I felt really bad about it. Honestly, they had a very, very difficult onboarding. Most of them did not swim. Most of them ended up sinking. And then In my honesty, Amazon, please don't sue me here, but I do think because of so many people like not being able to like figure things out, they did kind of lower the bar of expectations of some of their employees. And we started to have some people that just really weren't at the same quality that we had before. That's kind of like the long-term effect of what happened, but I think initially that's a huge boost in productivity.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know because, like, different perspectives are always useful because the way that the pandemic happened, every person's experience was different. And in the workplace and in how we dealt with work, it was pretty fascinating to see how your teammates dealt with it. We also heard, obviously, that during the pandemic, there were a lot of divorces happening, a lot of unfortunately suicides too. I was living in Las Vegas for a little part of the pandemic as well, and our county actually had the highest rate of child suicides, like suicides under 15 years old. And it was such a difficult time. Different people, dealt with it differently. For me, the different changes that I noticed from my teammates is that they have turned the internet or the screen into everything. That's what I noticed. That it was like a day of screens. They would like wake up, look at their phone, and then they shared this to me. And then they would work at a laptop. They would have their lunch break in front of a laptop and watching something on Netflix, and then come back to work at the laptop. After that, they would be on their phone, maybe social media, or watch something on Netflix, or read a book on Kindle. It was very, except for the people who got obsessed with some sort of home crafting or like tending to plants. It was really just a day full of screens. And it was when we also started to issue blue light blocking devices for our teammates and things like that. That was the change that I noticed. It's like a lot of people became their days became like a day of screens. So that was that it was almost like, okay, you can't go out. This is the only way you can see what's out there, your screen, your internet. So that was sad, for me. And eventually I know that some people started to get out of that, like they went on walks and hiking, and I tried ketamine for the first time. Just kidding, not kidding. But eventually people got out of that. What is this? That freeze moment, fight, flight, or freeze. Like we were all in freeze, and then we all kind of just found our way around it. So I know that in remote work as a practice, there are things that are positive, there are things that are negative. But in terms of best practices that you've noticed from some of your coworkers, what do you think can are some of the best practices in terms of remote work? And what do you think are some of the things that we could do better also?
Best practices in terms of like the not f for are you talking about like from a company's perspective or for like the an individual, I guess.
Maybe the individual.
I think the most important part is to really, really draw boundaries.
I like that.
If you're not good at time blocking, get good at it. And like do it fast. I really, really do not think it's okay for people to get used to I guess essentially like never getting a break and enjoying like finding a hobby, finding a girl or guy, I don't know who you are. The real life things, right? I think the most exciting part about the results of the pandemic and this like remote work thing was like it felt like at least momentarily that everyone was getting a chance to improve their life, right? Like they were able to leave the city, they were able to go see family. So I think the number one thing is really, really really impress on like creating boundaries. I think secondly, invest in like the technology that you need to make it reliable. If you live in an area with bad internet, get two routers. I don't it it's gonna be worth it. If you need to be extremely presentable, get a background, like invest in a background, get a mic, get a camera. That stuff really does matter. Make it easy for yourself to actually to not be in the office or rely on other people providing you resources. Invest in those damn resources. So I'd say create boundaries and invest in the actual tools or resources that you need in order to do the job the same as you would if you were in an office and leveraging someone else's tools and resources.
Yeah, no, I like those suggestions. So set boundaries and invest in good technology. I really like that because I've been, as a business owner who is bootstrapped, I know a lot of people, a lot of you listeners are also probably in the same boat. Sometimes we make do with what we have in such a way that, we're too proud of what we have and we're like, you know what, this works. I was able to get to seven figures without professional setup or the best mic or the best camera. But eventually it's time to grow up, right? So I definitely agree with you, investing in tech and investing in like how do you look like in the online world? And I would say, slight segue to like your personal brand, I would say as a business owner. I think that was also the time when I realized that, you know what, there is a life online and that the pandemic totally changed how we viewed a lot of things. And that includes our personalities. That was a time when more people tried online dating for the first time too. More people were recruiting purely online. You don't have to meet in person for an interview. A lot of people tried outsourcing for the first time. It was such a great time actually for my business. We hit seven figures in that year in that year during the pandemic without spending anything on ads because now people are like, well, I can hire anywhere else in the world. And that's also when we realized that, you know what, we have certain personal brands online. And if there's one thing that I could give also as advice is, you said invest in tech. For me, like invest in your online presence because now, after the pandemic and now remote work as a it's not amazing anymore. In the past, we're like, wow, you can work anywhere. Oh, wow, you're so lucky. We used to be jealous of these people, right? Oh, you travel, you have a travel budget. Oh my God, you're so lucky. You can work anywhere. You don't have to wear a uniform or clock in. But now a lot of jobs have just become remote and it's basic and hybrid even. So a lot of our interactions are now happening online. So I would say definitely invest in your online presence, invest in your reputation, invest in how you look on social media. Like, and this goes to businesses too. Like, what are people saying about your businesses? Do you have enough five-star reviews and case studies? Like, how are you presenting yourself online? So now that remote work is a culture that we have taken on, it's not just like a temporary thing. This needs to, a lot of things need to be, thought all over again. So thank you for your insight, Alex. Did you go through that as well? Like, did you like, oh my God, I gotta care about how I look online now or something?
So for me, I think that was I realized that you know that phrase like dress for you don't dress for the job you have, dress for the job you want. Have you heard of that?
That's why I showed
So
up naked to your door
it
on the second date. Just kidding.
I kind of had that feeling after a while of like working in my PJs, right? It was like I don't feel like I'm like going for the job that I want. I just didn't feel like I was showing. I think it plays a lot mentally.
True, I agree.
If you are kind of really preparing correctly, whether that be like appearance wise or tools and resources wise. So I think that That really was a turning point for me when I did that. For example, it sounds so stupid, but like I moved to Mexico. I was living with someone who would have like people over late, right? Or people over in the morning. Once I got my own place and I was wearing collared shirts, I had my light in for my calls. Even though it's like really small stuff, I ended up getting promoted twice, like right away. Because I
I
was
love
just
that.
mentally more into it.
I love that.
But I think the other thing too, like where I mentioned the boundaries, Carla, it's like what's the whole point of like working remote and having all this freedom if you're not gonna have like a take a pill and a visa moment, or like it's something like that. So it's like I feel like that stuff is like really important too.
No, I like your point about power dressing because a lot of people think that that term is cringy. And by the way, if you guys are listening to my podcast right now and you have this open on your phone, scroll up and cue the episode about power dressing with my friend Kershaw. He talks about how it affects your mindset and how. And we also talked about tips on how to pick the right pieces for you. So definitely check that out because I'm a big believer of power dressing and dressing for the job that you want and dressing for the state that you want, the mental state. I totally believe that. One of the things that I always joke about is that Alex, my husband, actually influenced me in buying the best and some of the most expensive workout clothes I've ever bought in my life. We're like
You bought
shareholders.
them? You bought them?
You bought some of them.
That's
Anyway,
it.
Your Honor, I'm sorry. But yeah, so Alex has always convinced me that you got to spend for like your workout clothes. And I used to be like, but I'm just gonna be sweaty. I'm just gonna be sweaty and like nobody cares. No, I'm not going to the gym to like to have guys like look at me. I don't have to look perfect. I don't care, right? But he was like, but you're gonna feel good. And it's gonna start your day right. And so I probably on average spent at least $150 per piece, like a bra. I have these brands that I buy. And then at first I was really hesitant, but he was right. And it's I think clothing is an ex a form of self-expression. And even if you work remotely, if once you wear that, you're switched on, like something in you switches on. And I totally believe in that.
Part of that, I think though I'm also using like clothing as like a metaphor for like get a mic for your calls, right? Like get a microphone, whatever is necessary for your job to be performed more professionally. I think clothing is kind of a metaphor for that as well, since we're like in this digital remote work era.
No, absolutely. And actually, if you first impressions matter, right? Like even in front of the camera, like people, our brains, it's natural for our brains to make quick judgments based on our looks, right? And so, yeah, I don't have to wear makeup, but it doesn't mean I'm not gonna comb my hair because I'm working remotely. I'm still gonna come to that call presentable. And this is why actually little hack is this is why I love wearing my golf clothes. Because golf clothes are breathable, right? Because they're designed to be worn outdoors. A lot of them are breathable, so they're very comfortable. Like you can wear them in your sleep. And but they also have collar, so it's formal. It's like business formal, almost business casual technically. But you look good and you look smart. And if the person on the other side plays golf, then now you can, we can riff off something and have an instant rapport. So even if you don't play golf, that would be one of the hacks that you can do. Pretend to play golf. And
I want to play golf now. You shouldn't have brought this up.
oh
Just
gosh, I know. Well, we're gonna do it tomorrow. We're playing tomorrow, so don't worry. If you love this podcast, please give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot to us. And if you love to make more money by improving your customer or client retention, loyalty, and lifetime value, check out Alex's work at Huckleberry Consulting. He is offering a free 1-hour audit to just a lucky few, just for the first 20 listeners who will reach out. It's super easy. Just go over to consulthuckleberry.com and book an appointment at his calendar. And all you need to do is mention this podcast. So this 1-hour free audit has a value of $500, and you're going to get it for free if you're one of the first 20 listeners. Just book an appointment at his calendar. Go over to consulthuckleberry.com, and all you need to do is just to mention this podcast. Come to that call with your customer success and client success problem, and feel free to pick his brain. That's all you need to do. So I hope you're one of the first 20. Let's go. How about productivity, Alex? Like, did you become more productive or not? Or how about your coworkers? And do you believe that remote work actually makes people more productive ultimately?
Yeah, I think at first it did, right? And then I realized it depends on who you are. I think personality really started to shine through, like, the initial, everyone is just kind of locked inside working. So at first there was like a lot of that with pandemic, but like in just remote work in general, it's 100% a personality thing. So I personally, when I'm working for when I was working at Amazon, I became far more productive. Whether it was, you know, during the pandemic or like towards the end of it, where, you know, everyone, that really wasn't a thing anymore. I was a lot more productive. However, since I started you know, my own company, it took me a while to figure out how to be that productive, right? But maybe that was also because I was you know, transitioning from, you know, being an employee to actually owning a business. So I'm sure that plays a really big part into maybe that ambiguity that I was feeling. But I would say, it depends on your role, depends on your personality. And I think you really, that's why I said at the, I think best practice, like what I've learned is like time block or boxing is like so important, at least for me. And once I figured out how to do that, I'm far more productive, I believe, than if I were in an office. Also, like, I'm too social sometimes, right? Like, if there's a water cooler or something even close to a water cooler, you're going to catch me over there trying to chat someone up, you know, just to maybe get away from my desk for a minute. So I remember it.
I see that too. You're always hanging out by our refrigerator. So
I remember at Amazon, like, I would get to the point where, like, I would be in office, and, you know, I'd have people coming up and ask me questions, and we would talk a lot. And then I'd be like, oh shit, I got to get all this work done. So I would find an empty floor in the building, and then I would just go hide from everybody. and then I would like power through all of the work that I should have done, you know, previously, because I was just socializing too much. But when I'm remote work, it really removes that social element. And I think the only issue in terms of like distractions you might have is like, do you have a good discipline with, like, you know, television or like staying off of Facebook, etc. But as a business owner, it's funny because it's like Facebook or social media might actually be part of your job. So just figuring it out.
No, I totally agree with that. Like you said, it depends on your personality, and also it depends on your role. So I think for me, if I could add to that, it also depends on like the company culture. So I think that genuinely, I think remote work makes people productive. Obviously, I'm saying a little caveat, this is limited, obviously, to certain industries where work can be submitted remote. Okay. I'm not saying that a doctor can remotely do a surgery. I do not advise that at all. You know, the doctor can be in like the Bahamas and just like, you know, Skype someone. Ideally, that doctor should probably be in person. But you know, if there's an opportunity and if it's absolutely doable to submit the work that you do, like if you are in consulting and you do a lot of analysis, research, if you're a virtual assistant, you know, like the people, our team, my team is all remote. then I think that it definitely makes people more productive because it lets them, after a while when they master, when they get over like the slump that you described, of adjustment, they get, I think that they get to plan their lives better, actually. And then they get to be reminded that their life comes first. I think that psychologically, one of the things that was not attractive to me in terms of having a job was that I've met so many people that made their jobs their whole personality. And of course, I'm a little rebel and I'm very unemployable, but I was looking at them, and I was thinking, oh my God, I don't want to be one of these people that, their job is their whole life and they can't stop talking about work even outside work. But I think that remote work, they get to people will more will get forced to like put their life first. Work is just a part of their life, and work should integrate into the life that they have at home. So I was actually very happy, and shout out to all the single moms there making things happen, especially and single dads, single parents making it happen, especially single parents who are homeschooling. Oh my God, kudos to you guys! Big applause. But I think that for especially for situations like that, remote work provides a huge amount of advantage, so that you can still have a career and a source of living. And then you, I think ultimately that makes people more productive. So, what about happiness, Alex? Do you think that what was your happiness level like? What were the ebbs and flows when you were trying to get into this remote work culture?
I think happiness was improved dramatically. I felt quite literally like a prisoner, right? A prisoner of Seattle. My only other option at that time was to move wherever my employer would allow me to move and live in a close radius of whatever building they wanted me to report to. It felt like a prison, and I wanted to leave Seattle really, really bad. Beautiful area. It just, and I love Seattle fully. It changed over time, and I wanted a little bit of different people. So for me, my happiness being able to leave that, I've always wanted to be able to spend more time with family. I wanted to on my bucket list was to live in another country for a year. Been living in Mexico now for over 2 years. So cross off a bucket list.
Yay.
Like I never would have been able to do so many of the things that I have been able to do. Traveled the world a few times now.
I love that.
In terms of happiness, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And I really want to emphasize, like I hope that this all doesn't, like the post-pandemic, everyone return the office thing doesn't fully work, and like all the progress made on making like remote work a little bit more realistic for big companies. I hope it doesn't totally reverse, because I truly, truly, truly felt like an absolute prisoner. Like it was honestly depressing. I might have had friends in Seattle. I might have been able to go do cool things, but like mentally wanting to do something else and knowing that you're probably never going to be able to do it, like it was just, it's very weighing on you. And eventually if I stayed in that much longer, I might not have, it might not have been, it might have been extremely unhealthy for me. So.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And like I said, it's also very culture dependent and like the other people around you. And this is nothing against, I'm not saying culture as in, oh my God, the Amazon culture, it sucks, or the Microsoft or the whatever company culture sucks. What I'm saying is that culture is formed also by the people around you, and these are people with lives you cannot control, right? And I think if you are forced to be with them in person, thrive off their energy, their mood, I think there's more things there that you can control. Whereas one of the things that I like with remote work for me is that I feel so much in control of my personal state. I wake up, I meditate, I journal, I work out, I have some quiet time. Sometimes it's not a fairy tale like that. I wake up and go on Reddit. And sometimes I wake up and I go through your wallet. Oh, you know, can we edit that out? I'm
Oh
just
my God, I
kidding.
knew you were doing that.
I know, I'm just kidding. But I think that, you know, when you put remote work first, you know, if your way of life is remote work and accepting that this is also the way of life of other people, I think it also gives you more control and ultimately it makes you more happy. I think one of the main, I believe that one of the main sources of happiness of people is when they feel in control of things, when they don't feel helpless.
I 100% agree, Carla. I think that's a good way to summarize it. Control of your own life is definitely kind of what I was trying to say, but it took way too long to say.
You're fine. But also I want to highlight, you know, what you said about like doing things in your bucket list. This is, if you guys observe the thought process that went into this is actually a product of someone who decided to put their life first. And for me, this happened, you know, even though I've been working technically doing remote work since 2010, the pandemic also and this change of work culture also gave me that moment of, you know what, I can do these things and I can do a lot of bucket list things, and it definitely helped me realize that I have more control over my own life. Of course, hashtag shameless plug, I'm in the business of outsourcing, so I outsource a lot of stuff. My team handles a lot of stuff for me, and but also I was able to, you know, learn a new sport, try to learn a new language, totally live in a different country. I've traveled, but I've never really had a residency anywhere else. And just do a lot of things that, you know, surprised me that I would say yes to. So on that note, Alex, you know, tell us about your favorite non-work activities, things that you kind of insert in your day now that you're doing remote work.
There's some unhealthy ones, but no, we won't get into this. No, I definitely golf. I wish that I found remote work before I got into like my 30s. If I didn't, I would have, I was really, really, really passionate about snowboarding, competed in that, and if I could have been able to do more of that in my 20s, my later 20s, I think I would have been a lot happier, to be honest. I think that was a really difficult part about feeling like a prisoner in Seattle at least 5 days a week is, my passion was just, I could see it on the horizon, literally. I could see the snowy mountains, but I couldn't go do it, right? So, but I in my 30s during the pandemic, I found golf. Mostly because I'm too broken and old now to really act like a teenager on a snowboard. So I do a lot of golf. I've been able to get into working out. My wife is pestering me about, getting into meditation. I go to this, I go to the spa a lot now. So I in the middle of the day, which I'm always like super happy
Kind of
about
cool, right?
being able to do. Like I'll go and I'll sit in the sauna and I'll do a cold plunge in a really cool spa that I get to be a member of for an affordable price. And I get to go in the middle of the day, while majority of people surrounding me, if they're there at that same time, they're on vacation, right? And I'm just in the middle of my day. So just like those things. Also, Carla, I don't know if you know this, but like you do, but I'm a bit of like a night owl too. So I think I really love the ability to do work later in the evening, right? So it does free up like the middle of my day to go do like a round of golf, like I mentioned. So
No, I know that you're a night owl. It's driving me crazy sometimes. But yeah, I actually read about just people being natural night owls too. And you know, in my company, because we're based in the Philippines and a lot of our clients are in the States, we actually carefully select people who are used to working at night. You know, I'm not gonna take someone who has a corporate job, a daytime corporate job, and tell them, you know, now you gotta work at night. So Even just these differences, right, in personalities and what time of the day you want to work. I think that's a benefit, though, little caveat, of course. That's a little benefit of owning your own business for sure. Because even though you work remotely, if you have to have a 9 to 5 and you have coworkers that expect you to be on Slack, so it's a teeny bit different. For me personally, I love cooking, and that's one of the non-work activities that I really started to love when the culture of remote work became more famous because of the pandemic. I can try out new recipes, and I can just explore. Recently, I've also picked up the guitar, playing the guitar again. The last time I played was in high school, so I'm very, very bad at it, but I'm
She's
trying
really
to
good,
be.
people. She's really good.
No, actually, I'm not very good, and but I'm trying to be good again. And just little by little, day by day, I've started reading more, like actual books. And I really enjoy it. And it gives me that space of my day where, number one, I'm away from the screen. This is a big thing for me because I caught myself having that screen life too. So I love it. I love it. How about socialization, Alex? Do you socialize with your coworkers? Like when you were working with Amazon, do you socialize with them or keep good rapport even though you're working remotely? How did you go from like the water cooler guy to like, I don't know, gossiping on Slack, I guess?
That's actually, I haven't thought about that. For me, I think it was more about, like, because I was a manager, I spent a lot of time checking in on people, doing one-on-ones that were not work related. So, because I was a manager, I had that worked into my schedule intentionally, right? Doing health checkups on people, figuring out if they were, thinking about a career move, if I could help them do that, just talk about stuff that wasn't their day to day. So, that's how I kind of socialize with my team. And then outside of that, like, I had made my friends at Amazon, when I first started, and I was a customer success manager and not a manager of that team. And they had all moved on to different departments. So I would visit those people in person. Like, I have a friend in
That's nice.
Atlanta. I would fly to you all the time, right? I just to go hang out with him. But in terms of, like, my teammates, I mean, I was the manager in that situation, so it was a little different, right?
And that's true. And if you obviously if you're the boss or something, you're the manager, they kind of they acquiesce, right? So,
I didn't want to be friends with them, because I think that's kind of defeats the purpose of being a manager.
Yeah, so if you used to work with Alex and you're listening to this episode,
Hey.
please remember that the friendship was fake. And
Hey.
I'm just kidding. But for me, because we're all remote and my team is scattered all throughout the country, then I little advice, there's tons of icebreakers and like unique ways to liven up the team. Sometimes we do like a little raffle. We share our personal wins, not like a win in at work, but like our personal wins. I love doing that. You guys can just Google this actually, and you'll find a lot of ways to motivate and bond with your teammates.
Oh, Carla, can I correct myself? 'Cause I see the kind of the direction of where what you were looking for. Like, that's definitely stuff we would include. So at the beginning of every meeting, we'd have, like, weekly meetings with our team. We have a Jeopardy question, right? Or just, like, a question that comes in, like, four answers that they choose from. Whoever answers it first in the chat, they win. I think if after the, like, 5 weeks, there was whoever was in, like, the point lead, we would give them an Amazon gift card or whatever it may be.
That's nice.
We would try to, like, we'd budget out. If someone in, like, Seattle, or people that were close to each other, close enough to make an in-person meeting, if they wanted to go out and socialize, bowling or hit the bars, whatever it may be, we would work that into the budget, and we would encourage them to do that. So there's a bunch of things like that that we would do to in order for teams to kind of work together. And I think it's important to always include a budget that is not work related for your team, especially if you're working remotely.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that for sure. Well, thank you so much, Alex. You have definitely shared a lot of insights about remote work. It was super nice to hear your stories, and it also actually made me realize a lot of things that I went through just, mentally and like my experience. And I think that this episode will make more people, think about also like process their experience a little bit more. But as a last tip, so I know that you have a consulting company in customer success and client success, and that you help businesses make more money by improving their retention, loyalty, building amazing affiliate programs. I know you're really good at that, but what is your advice on business owners who are kind of maybe need a better way to improve the remote work culture? So I know you're good at like dealing with the customers and the clients, but in a company, the employees and the teammates are kind of the clients, right? Your employee happiness matters too. They're like they are also who the company serves, and happier employees and happier teammates lead to happier customers too. So what is your advice for business owners or people looking to grow and or maybe even like leaders looking to manage a fully remote team?
That you have quite a bit. For one, I just already mentioned, right? Like, work in a budget, whether you use that budget or not, that is not work related for your team to use to meet together, to maybe they all go out separately, and go do something and send pictures. Definitely include a budget for social activities. I think another really important one, if you're not doing this, you are really, really messing up as a business owner or manager. Have career conversations regularly with your employees. And this does not, you literally cannot talk about what they're currently doing in their job, asking them why they didn't get something to you. This is a space for them to tell you if they want to stay in their role, if they want to change industries completely, and you're almost like a counselor figuring out how can I help you achieve that. If honestly, if they say that they just want to stay where they're at, for me, that's a red flag. And maybe they don't trust you to tell you the truth too. I bet someone doesn't want to stay exactly where they're at. So have career conversations.
I like that.
Next thing, you cannot be involved in everything. You're the business owner or the manager. You need to give SMEships, so subject matter expert roles, to people in your team. And this could be like someone is a fund SME, for example. So one person on the team is in charge of connecting with everybody else. You're not included, and they want to figure out things that are fun, or they're in charge of, reaching out to people on their birthday, and they actually have a budget to maintain. I think that's really important. This
I
getting,
like
I think
that.
in delegating SMEships across the board is really important. And usually in those career conversations that I mentioned, you can actually figure out based off of what someone says, how they want their career to progress. Like maybe they want to shift to marketing and they're in operations right now. You can give them a SMEship, a marketing SMEship on something, particular, and they get that experience and they get a chance to strut their stuff or, learn about a new topic that's outside of their job role and responsibility. And you're helping them kind of achieve that next step. Let's see, one last one I would have is stop threatening people to go back to the office. You honestly are ruining people's lives by stating that a role is fully remote or hybrid, and then you're changing the goalpost. Stop doing that. There's too many companies doing it. You lose all trust from your employees. It's honestly, it feels evil to me. So I think those are my top three. But I could keep going on and on if you wanted me to.
Yeah, no, I think those are very helpful for sure. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm super happy that you're able to, share your experience because, like I said, we have a very different experience, and I have a wide audience that will be able to relate to your story as well. So, if people want to check out what you do, your work, how you help businesses, where can they find you, and where can they check out your company?
First off, I Carla mentioned earlier, my socials are kind of a personal private, and I've ever since marrying Carla, I've had a lot of people reaching out to with friend requests that I've never met. Sorry that I denied. I just keep them private. So where you can find me though is LinkedIn. So I'm Alex Booth. I run Huckleberry Consulting, which is customer success consulting focused. Also, newly, we have been building out affiliate programs. So you can find me on LinkedIn, or you can find me on my website, which is consulthuckleberry.com. And my email also, which you would find on the site, would be alex@consulthuckleberry.com.
All right, thank you so much. So that's consulthuckleberry.com. If you are a company that wants to make more money through your current clientele, build a great affiliate program, improve company, customer retention, loyalty, and just have 5 stars all over, improve satisfaction, and even using feedback for product or service innovation, definitely visit consulthuckleberry.com. 1 hour of maybe an audit or a call will really, really change how you look at customer and client success. So thank you so much, Alex, and thank you so much, everyone. I'll see you next Monday for another amazing episode of None of Your Business. Follow me on Instagram. That's Carla Stefan, KarlaStefan. Let me know your thoughts. And if you have a topic that you want me to talk about, please let me know as well. Bye, and have a great week ahead.
Thank you.
Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have 2 conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.